Hello everyone and welcome to JFG Tonight. Tonight is Ask Me Anything, a chill show, although lots is happening in the news, and I've seen personally the shortages in the grocery stores. It's getting insane. I think maybe it's a symptom of being in Canada, maybe it's a symptom of the truckers. There is currently a kind of trucker strike, although not an official one, not supported by their union, but there are a lot of truckers across Canada that are contesting the vaccine mandates. Maybe it's related to this, but I've went to the grocery store today and vegetables are basically, they've not received any new vegetables since many weeks. And all I was seeing there, all the old vegetables that are left over, like there's a couple of avocados left, anything that you would expect to be delivered. And especially in Canada right now, it's the winter, so most of the vegetables, I suppose, come from outside the country. None of it was available. And it's much beyond what we had before, which was there was the bathroom tissue shortage. That was one specific item, but I see across the board, everything that would be fresh, everything that would be delivered, it's starting to look very empty. So perhaps it's a symptom of the strikes of truck drivers, or it could be that the economic crash is underway and that things are collapsing from a worker's perspective. Ariel Suarez says, I hear vegetables. Well, I say vegetable with my French accent. That's what it is. Sprocket says, good idea telling us you're starting the stream. I still don't get to hear the first few words you say. Maybe if you started streaming about 5 seconds before playing the actual intro. I already do the 5 seconds. The problem is I don't want to create a space of silence of 10 black seconds with a dark screen that our regular viewers, when they don't watch us live and they watch us after the fact, I don't want them to have to endure a minute of silence before the show begins. That's a weak point of Odyssey. They have to work on this. On YouTube, I was able to decide where the video begins in the stream. So I don't have this control on Odyssey. On Odyssey, when you start streaming on Streamlabs, it's also when it starts publicly. So you don't have this... You don't have this this issue where you don't have this degree of control where you can stream but without the stream becoming public. This is disgusting. A new mom had her newborn baby taken away from her at Caboolture Hospital and they refused to hand him back until she returned a negative COVID test. Left alone in the ward, she was told the test could take days due to backlog. Just cruel. This is in Australia. This is the state of medical fascism. Of course, they always are interested, ultimately, at taking the children. This is what they were doing before the pandemic, and this is what they will use the pandemic for. Giving birth in hospital is becoming increasingly dangerous. Try to avoid it. It is really a place where they will do whatever they can to take your babies. Dark Urza says, JF, do a half minute of beeps. Increase the frequency as it nears the intro start. Yeah, that sounds like something that would be annoying. That sounds like something I would disconnect from before the show starts. All right, join me on Entropy. It is my favorite platform for super chat. The link is right below the video, the Entropy link, and tonight our survey on Entropy is, have you experienced the shortages personally recently? Today it struck me that, it struck me that the shortages are hitting strong, and I think that we will be headed toward either an economic crisis right now, or there will be a reboost. 1 minute. Or there will be some reboost, some regain, maybe Bitcoin rising again, the Fed printing money again, and then an economic crisis. So it's either now or in a couple of months from now, but given the fact that Bitcoin is crashing so hard, I suspect that we are into a massive event. All right, you can also join me on Discord. If you would like to do a call-in, if you would like to speak with me, join the Discord server at the address below. It's in the description in the list of social media links. You join the Discord, you connect to the waiting room, and if I see you in the waiting room, I will bring you into the JF Lounge and you can be live on the show. And we see, I believe this is the first chat, the first regular chat of Mama JF. Mama JF has finally created an account at Odyssey. Don't forget, people, create your accounts. It is very important to create your account at Odyssey if you want to get the best speed and if you also want me to get rewarded with this LBC cryptocurrency for your views. The mask police are the absolute worst.
Is it at a grocery store?
It was rude to write me when I was 16. Well, no, I'm sorry, I'm 17. I forget. Because I'm mentally ill.
So this particular mask Nazi says that she is mentally ill. So that's 1 point for self-awareness.
I'm looking for stuff in his beard.
Do you hear those voices? So she's also psychotic. What's written on her shirt? What's her shirt saying? She's the. I would fight for my liberty. There's something about liberty. It's bizarre that she would then complain because they don't wear a mask.
These people wear a mask.
They're not wearing a mask. Isn't that rude?
I mean, all we ask is them to wear a mask.
I just looked over and I saw you dancing, and I'll just start laughing.
This is not good.
Bring it on, buddy!
I would fight for my liberty. Aret Truman.
Let's do this!
She has decided that she would kind of occupy their life until they wear a mask.
I'm alright, man. I'm alright. That's all I heard. Let's look at those kids, something. Hope I heard them.
Systematically, the unmasked woman being harassed is more beautiful than the masked Nazi harassing.
You can breathe. One more. Bring anything down. Super spreaders. I bet you.
Super spreaders.
Voted for Trump, didn't you?
I bet you voted for Trump, didn't you? Oh, she self-identifies as a Karen. Tatar Grimm has an hypothesis for her behavior, possibly suffering from lack of oxygen. maybe it is a lack of oxygen. There are now warnings in grocery stores to keep people calm about the shortages. Take only what you need. DC asks people to limit supermarket purchases as empty shelves persist. If you're hitting the grocery store to prepare for winter weather, please just buy what you need and leave some for others. You may have noticed empty shelves in some stores due to national supply chain issues, but there is no need to buy more than you normally would. Well, how do I know that? Well, how am I supposed to trust this? You're telling me that there are supply chain issues, so that would be why I want to buy stuff in advance. Now you're telling me you don't have to worry about the supply chain issues that are indeed happening. How do I make the difference between the lies, that the noble lies that you're trying to tell me, and the reality that you're also acknowledging while you do so? Go away, says JF. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Mask mandates are the tyranny of the ugly over the beautiful. They deny us the evolutionary advantage of displaying our aesthetic features. You know what? I think it may very well be right. So much of modern leftism is ultimately pushed by ugly people over beautiful people. And I think that the beautiful know that they can get the best from the world, and that a freely competing environment is to their advantage because they're going to find a good husband and everything. And the leftists know that they're not beautiful enough, so none of the freedom is really to their advantage, because people will use their freedom to get away from them. Jeff Doe says, after watching a debate between an NCAP and a socialist, the socialist said that the NCAP was using an appeal to nature. The NCAP used a similar argument to your argument of natural selection. So I was wondering what you thought of the idea that the libertarian NCAP view is an appeal to nature. Well, yeah, I mean, you have to be careful. Most people, let's say uneducated libertarians will overstate their belief that there is some kind of moral realism and that it should be that way. But you'll notice that very rarely is it the case that my statements are subject to that critique. That's because I'm very aware that morality is a matter of belief, and it's not a matter of reality or objectivity. When we talk about how the world should be, it's really within the human brain. It's not a matter of fact. And if you make the error of presenting it as a matter of fact, if you say, well, that's obviously better than this, without clearly laying out that you believe, that you think it would be better than some other way of life, then you will commit an appeal to nature at some point. So appeal to nature is when you essentially take any fact and say that this justifies any moral. Or you take a state of nature and how it is, and you make the argument that therefore that's how it should be. That's to be avoided. Now, you can essentially do any argument that you would do that would be an appeal to nature. You can rephrase it always in a way that is not an appeal to nature and that remains valid. So suppose that I was to say something like, well, you know, leftists are wrong. When you look at how the world works, it's everyone for himself and the best survive. And we should continue to want it to be that way. Now, that would be loosely an appeal to nature, but there is a way you can phrase the exact same point without the appeal to nature. First, if I was in an argument against a leftist, I would say, well, what do you want from? What do you think we should do with society? And then they would say, well, I want some kind of generosity from the state. And then that's where you catch them, and you say, you don't do an appeal to nature here. You just say, do you realize that given the state of the world as it is, and given the fact that we are a biological life form subject to evolution, that your desired outcome will not be attainable, because the more generous you are with the people, the more they will exploit your generosity. And ultimately, your generosity will result in them becoming weaker. You're going to make the world worse. For example, if you help poor people, you're going to create more poverty in the next generation. Now, by having said this, I didn't say anything about what we should do. I said, I have framed it in the terms of the leftist desire. And I said, do you realize that your moral desires are impeded by the factual nature of the world? And that's not an appeal to nature. That's just making the leftists realize that if you have any goal in life, these goals will be relying on a bunch of facts and a kind of structure of the world. And there are certain worlds in which certain goals are not attainable. And one of the examples of this is the goal of absolute generosity of the state is unattainable, because the more generous you are, you could attain that point temporarily, but you would help parasitism, you would help exploitation, you would help the poor, until there are so many poor out there that need your help that you can't help them all. This is the great contradiction of leftism, and you can put it into their face while remaining in the factual world analysis, while making no statement of should. Now, that's kind of the leftist side of it. When you attack them, that's how you do to avoid the appeal to nature. Now, you can even talk about your own moral preferences as a libertarian without committing an appeal to nature. And here, what you have to be careful about is to express correctly in your semantics the bridge between is and ought. If you do so, you can very well say, all right, here's a couple of facts about biological evolution. The best wins, the most competitive survive, blah, blah, blah. And this leads to a world that is more capable. Now, here's the subtlety. You don't say this leads to a world that we should desire. There you go. You committed your appeal to nature. You keep it in the factual observation. The word capable is not a moral word. It's a world of fact. It's a word of fact. If I say someone is capable, like a car is capable of being driven from one place to another, that's a fact. It's not a moral preference. I haven't said the car should be driven. I said it's possible to drive the car from here to here. You can do the same with your moral preferences and present them as with only factual words. And then at the end, you can say, yeah, that's a world I would want. See, now you isolate your desires from the state of facts. So the state of facts is, well, the societies that are too generous will end up with a lot of incapable people. See how much moral presumptions are hidden in there, but they're not truly there? Incapable people. It seems to be a moral word, but it's not. Incapable is a statement of fact about the possibility of a device in the physical world to do something. So that's how you avoid the appeal to nature. But yes, a lot of people out there, in fact, almost all libertarians do it. That's why I'm a very bizarre libertarian. All right, people are joining Entropy. Thank you so much for sending your question through our favorite platform. Although, do not forget also to be signed in on Odyssey. Thought Criminal says, why aren't Genghis Khan-like people more common? Why don't people like Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos have massive harems and have hundreds of children? They could easily afford it. Well, it's quite simple. It is quite simple. The hawk and dove game theoretic framework explains this. The hawk and dove is simply the idea that you have certain entities in a species that are highly combative. They can easily fight off the subordinated. They can easily fight off those who don't want to fight. And this is true, by the way, of intellectual stuff even, like Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos. I'm not necessarily thinking about only fighting physically. But as it turns out, you can totally make the metaphor with only the physical combating stuff. So imagine that you have two strategies. You can either fight at a relatively high rate when you encounter a competitor, in which case, either you're going to encounter a competitor who's unwilling to fight and who flees off, and boom, you just gain something. Maybe you gain access to some food, or maybe you gain some control in the human species. Or you're going to meet with another one who's willing to fight. And then, if both in the pair are willing to fight hard and to death, you're going to incur an enormous cost. So you might very well die from the fight. are the metaphor in the business domain for people like Elon Musk, you might very well lose everything if you go against a competitor who's bigger than you. And so the rate of fight, the rate of hawkishness, is predicted to be stable at a low frequency. As soon as you have like 20%, 40%, 80% of your population that are hawks, they pick fights with each other. Anytime they encounter each other, they die. And so their population is not maintainable at high frequency. However, when you reach a population where most people, because there were so many hawks out there, most people have evolved to be subordinated. Most people have evolved to be doves. They decline the fight. They lose a lot of rewards. They lose a lot of access to food. They lose a lot of control. But they gain survival. And that's better than nothing. And so once the population loses its hawks, the hawks are disappearing because they encounter each other too often. Eventually, you reach the evolutionary stable equilibrium where there are so few hawks that there is close to zero cost for them to engage in fighting. And this is why the alpha, the dominant, the controller, whatever, the hawk, this is why hawks are rare and doves are common. This is why Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos are rare. And you say, well, they could have massive harems with hundreds of children. Maybe they couldn't. Maybe that would lead to a social perception that they are abusing the system. Maybe it would lead to their social rejection. Maybe they would encounter another form of hawkishness, the hawkishness of females that would compete between one another to deprive them of the opportunity to get that big of a harem. So the great wisdom from evolutionary biology is that it sucks to be the alpha. It sucks to be the alpha. You have so much energy to invest to maintain this dominant state that very often it's not worth it. John Drake says, is JF going in about game theory here? That's what I'm doing. Yes. The Godfather says, JF, what do you do with that money Epstein gave you? I gave that money to a girlfriend of mine, who I made into a host of Neuro TV, and so that she could continue her studies because she wanted to work in the lab but didn't have the funding, didn't have the awards for being paid to do so. And so I gave her a large part of the money Epstein gave me, and some other money came into just regular expenses for the show that I was doing back then, cameras, microphones, that kind of stuff. But the vast majority was given to my girlfriend then, who I made into a host. And she then went crazy and started being very abusive. And thankfully, she's out of my life. But thankfully, I have been given a chance to have sex with an Asian female that day. Well, for that year. It's something that I really wanted to try. In the end, it's not worth the trouble. It's not worth the trouble. It's not worth the suffering, my friend. This is what I say to all these people on the internet who have Asian fever. The costs are enormous. The costs are enormous. Bilo Sagdiev is on Entropy. He says, hi, JF. When do you predict the end of vaccine mandates in Canada? When will they get bored of the topic already? Is the unvaxxed tax likely to pass? I don't know. I would have predicted that they would already have been calming down at this point. They haven't. But there are people rising. Someone was sending me this protest, Moncton, New Brunswick, thousands in the streets working for freedom, a protest against the vaccine mandate. So there is certainly people starting to rise. We had the Washington, D.C. rally today, the March Against COVID-19 Vaccine Mandates. Lots of public speakers like Pierre Corey and these guys, you know, the ivermectin guys. There was Robert Kennedy Jr. Talking against vaccine passports.
Vaccine passports! You have a series of rights, as flawed as our government has, is you can still go out and go to a bar, you can go to a sporting event, you can get on a bus or an airplane and you can travel, you have certain freedoms, you can get educated, etc. The minute they hand you that vaccine passport, every right that you have is transformed into a privilege contingent upon your obedience to arbitrary government dictates.
Absolutely. Absolutely correct. He is right. And this is what's to be avoided. Weak voice, says Terrells. Well, yes. I think he has something with his voice. Maybe he has some device in his throat or something. In any case, he's right. Robert Kennedy Jr. is a solid guy. And so do I predict that it will end in Canada? I think they might try to do the vaccine tax, the unvaxxed tax. In Quebec, they've done similar things in the past. I don't see them beyond doing that. Of course, it's all a question. The unvaxxed are not numerous enough. So it's easy for the majority to oppress the minority here. Now, they might get in trouble in the courts because there are certain guarantees in the rights and liberties in Quebec. Maybe eventually it won't pass the scrutiny of the court. But I see it happening in Quebec. I think it's very unlikely that it will happen elsewhere in some major ways. And I think with the trucker strike right now, and with the shortages, and you've seen them back out already of the nurse oppression. So now they're saying, okay, we need you, the nurses, so we can't really fire you because we need so many nurses. But they're going to tax the nurses for being unvaxxed. I think it's untenable, but maybe they'll try continuing. My bet would be that it's going to have to end soon. Stephen Robinson says, crypto YouTube getting censored hard today. Richard Hart live stream shut down midstream and entire channel nuked. Yeah, I was always surprised that they were letting Richard Hart go because he was getting very popular. And when you start attracting so many people to a project in which a lot of money is being poured in, I mean, we're talking billions of dollars into Pulse Chain and Hex and you know, I respect the guy, but I was surprised that he was making it still under the rules and under especially Twitter oppression is rising. I wouldn't be surprised that they will go after his Twitter account. So I didn't know. Thank you for letting me know, Stephen Robinson. I didn't know. He's a friend of ours. We've had him on the show. But more and more you will see. You will see the platforms going after just crypto people. And it's going to be impossible to do journalism around crypto. That's too bad, but that's what it is. The system is, it's a whole cartel. And this is why I'm so in pain when these specific instances of, like, the people who are for anti-vax stuff and ivermectin are like, oh, I can't believe I got banned! And the people in crypto, oh, I can't believe I got banned. It's like the first thing that happened in this society is that you guys all teamed up to go after the racism. And you've dehumanized the racist. You've dehumanized people who had different opinions. And then it eventually got to you. And I find it so weak to be complaining against these specific instances. Oh my God, I had a specific opinion on trans people. I can't believe I got banned from Twitter. Yeah, it's been going for 4 years, 5 years. You weren't there when they did it to us. Yeah, like if you want free speech, you should be standing beside David Duke and say David Duke has the right to express whatever he wants. And then I'll give you some credibility, you know. People were asking me, JF, will you have David Duke on the show? I don't even know. With Odyssey, I don't even know that that's possible. But that's the point. We should all team together. The unvaxxed, the Robert Kennedy Jr., the crypto guys, the Richard Hart with Hex, the this and that. We should all be teaming together. And instead of leading these separate fights for freedom, just say, we all want David Duke every night on JFG Tonight. And we want him to be able to say whatever he wants. We should all go back to this definition of free speech. And we should all go back to the conception that speech is free precisely because it's speech. Because it's speech, you have the choice to hear it and not hear it. And so if it hurts you, you press the stop or pause button, you go drink a tea, and then you come back and you close the window on your computer if you find it too annoying. That was the whole idea. This is the whole idea of speech. It's escapable, motherfuckers. It's escapable, and that's why it's not super costly to have free speech. It's because anyone can escape it. Bring back liberty of the escapable. That is, if there is anything I do in life that is escapable and you stay there and you endure it, that's your fault. If you're hurt or if you're offended by my speech, that's your problem because you're the one clicking on the video. But no, instead it's like, oh, wouldn't it be great if we could freely discuss this specific cryptocurrency? Well, yeah, it would be great if we could freely discuss anything. Some random bloke sends me a super chat on Entropy. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, can you get Ron Oons on your show? He can be contacted at ron@oons.com. Yeah, I don't know if I have much to ask him. You know, I've been having some respect for his written work. I don't know the personality. I don't know how he is, how he looks. Perhaps I would like to speak to him at some point. But I have to do some research. And it's never been clear to me what he is. Who's Ron Oons? He's a guy who has a website. That's my understanding. What is his mission in life? What is the goal? Maybe that's why I should interview him. We should get to find it. But it's always been hard for me to place him. Ooh. What is the meaning of Ron Oons? Sometimes I see his articles and it's like, oh, okay, some based positions here and there. But I don't know. What's his goal in life? That's something I should ask him, actually. Argy Rhodes sends a super chat. LBC, thank you so much. He says, where do you suggest I go to learn about how to get into purchasing crypto on a more advanced level? I don't have anything to suggest to you. I wouldn't engage into too much trading. It's all very dangerous. And you know, the only things I've ever recommended was to buy Bitcoin when it was low. I said to you guys and I said to everyone, buy Bitcoin at $7,000. It was a good call. But I wouldn't go as far as to direct you toward trading opportunities and you know, you say more advanced stuff. Basically, there is no such thing. Basically, there's just a bunch of people with extra money and they play it on the market like they would play it in the casino until they get no more money and then there's nothing left for them to play with. So be careful with this. You know, just follow the general narrative and the mainstream news and the less mainstream news. Just know that, you know, future halvenings might be very good for Bitcoin still, but might even be better for rising alternatives like ETH, like Monero. And, you know, just know when to get in. You gotta know when to hold them. You gotta know when to fold them. That's my advice to you. That's cheap, but it's really what it is. You have to know when you to hold them. Like, there is someone who's very good at trading on our Discord. If you want to go see his post, go check out the finance channel on our Discord server. The link is in the description below. But even this guy, you know, could be wrong. For example, he's predicting right now that Bitcoin has attained the bottom at 35 and will recover to 42,000. And then he's not sure whether it will bounce down if we're in a total economic crash, or maybe it will rise above 42,000. So his position is to buy at was to buy yesterday at 35, so that he can sell at 42. Now, if you listen to this, it's your problem. It's your risks. So you are playing with money, and there are bigger guys who control the true movements of the market. So you'll not always get it right. But see, he got it right, because today we have a small rise of the price of Bitcoin. So he's probably already in the profit. Well seen of him. Good job. Go away sends a super chat. He says, does that mean you support public masturbation on the principle of freedom of the escapable? Well, there you go. No, I don't. I don't. You know why I don't? Because you can't escape public masturbation. The vision of public masturbation is something that is coming to my eyes and that I cannot unsee. So that's why, although I'm totally for masturbation, and to a certain extent, if you could find a place in the park where no one sees you and no one even is aware that you're doing it, I wouldn't mind about this. I wouldn't mind if our laws allowed that. But the basic reason why you can't just go into open space and start masturbating in front of the passerbys is that they can't escape from the flash of seeing you masturbate, at least for a fraction of a second. So essentially, my policy in sexual acts is assume non-consent until signs of consent are given. And given that the passerbys can be assumed not to consent to seeing you masturbate, you shouldn't impose to them a flashing of your sexual organs that they have not consented to. Jeff Doe says, how far do you think Bitcoin will fall this year if there is a recession? It's a good question. You know, I once said, mark my words, Bitcoin will go down back to, I think I said 3,000 or 5,000. Now, given the radical rise that happened to Bitcoin, how do I remove this chat? Okay, there it is. It's a little low. I think there would certainly be strong support if it was to go down even at 10,000. You would see billions of dollars headed toward Bitcoin quickly. So if it can crash very low, it's not going to be for long. But I think we can realistically think of a crash to 20,000 easy. And perhaps with a solid recession, 15,000, 10,000. But it's very hard for me now to see my earlier prediction to come true, that it would go down to 5,000, maybe for a fraction of a second. Jeff Doe says, also, would you ever have David Friedman on the show? Well, the question is not whether I would have anyone, because I'm open to everyone. I don't think that I would absolutely reject anyone. Of course, I'm worried about David Duke, because I think he doesn't have the mastery of the of the Odyssey rules yet, so I don't know if he would be able to follow the Odyssey rules. But if I had a conviction or a sign from him that that he would respect the rules, I would have no objection to have him. Ivermectin. So someone edited arguably that IO, the encyclopedia is doing really good. I really love it. And he's been doing some great work laying out the argument for ivermectin having beneficial effects against SARS-CoV-2. Quite fascinating. I have to say, looking at the solidity of the evidence, I used to be saying it's uncertain and I would like to see more data, but this guy has made a beautiful case based on IVN Meta, which is a website that classifies all ivermectin studies at all time, and you can classify them in all sorts of ways. It's very hard now for me to imagine that ivermectin would have no positive effect on COVID. I mean, look at the studies favoring ivermectin systematically. Only 1-2 study here, 3-4, just a few studies that are that are failing at seeing an effect. You can classify these studies by early treatment only. Then you can see here the studies that are showing no effect, but then a vast sample of studies that are showing effects. You can classify them by used as prophylaxis, used as early treatment, used as late treatment. You know, I tend to believe that peer-reviewed studies are crap and that essentially we're doing very poor science out there. But still, you know, when you look at what the guy wrote, he said, results are very robust. In worst case, exclusion sensitivity analysis, 60 of 76 studies must be excluded to avoid finding statistically significant efficacy. So it would have to be the case that 60 of the 76 studies are found to be fraudulent for the result to become not significant. And you're like, have we ever demanded that level of evidence of anything else? I don't think so. I still don't like the fact that this is extremely fragmented across many studies. And when you have an extremely fragmented meta-analysis of that kind, the big fear is that everyone is biased to find a positive effect. People just don't publish negative effects. And it's harder to publish negative effects. So what does it tell me that 76 studies are finding a significant result? What if there are 76 other studies that are out there that have found negative effects but have not reported it because it was too hard for them to get a place in a peer-reviewed journal? We have to keep this in mind as we explore this. But, you know, for now, the guy has written that the level of certainty of this claim is true. And although I keep my personal doubts, I don't know, do I have to intervene here as an editor-in-chief of arguably.io? I mean, the guy has made a beautiful case. The guy has made a beautiful case. It's hard for me to intervene here. I don't see how I would intervene. Because if I'm going to start writing not true or uncertain at a claim that is defended by 76 studies, then nothing will ever be true. Plerome says, maybe one day you should do a show just on these kind of thing, confidence interval, p-hacking, publication bias, etc. Well, I know the elementaries of it, but I certainly wouldn't do a show about it because I'm disgusted by statistics. I hate statistics. I think it's one of the dirtiest parts of science. It's not fun to me. I like the information theoretic aspect of it sometimes, but you know, just statistics and just doing statistics right is a pain in the ass. And I have the basic, you know, I have the basic understanding of it to perform it well as a scientist. I understand what are the general reproach to a certain approach with statistics. And so I know what are the dangers, what you shouldn't do. But to the point of making a video about it, no, I hate this domain. And on top of it, you know, there's this whole conception that you have assumptions in statistical tests. And my problem with it is assumptions are the ones that you can state are just the tip of the iceberg of what can go wrong in the way we do science and the way we pull statistics. There are so many other ways in which your data set can be biased than those stated problems about statistics that I often feel uncomfortable. Just laying out what are the assumptions of the test, because I know that this is an act of deception, that there's 1,000 different ways in which your stats can be biased that are not accounted for. Will these people be charged with genocide? According to the Desert Review, a slew of high-profile power figures in the COVID-19 pandemic and the push to mandate experimental COVID jabs have been accused of several crimes, including crimes against humanity, war crimes, and crimes of aggression in the UK. So there is a 46-page legal filing against Fauci, Peter Daszak, Bill Gates, and this has been filed in the International Criminal Court. One of the signatories of this complaint is the guy, Dr. Michael Yeadon. The International Criminal Court is a court that operates at the international level that has been signed upon by many countries. But that is designed to go after crimes that the countries are refusing to go after. So often high-level corruption, things that, you know, the police wouldn't put their nose into, or things that are committed by state officials so that there's no way the police will ever charge them. So I think it's interesting. It's an interesting case. They are being accused of numerous violations of the Nuremberg Code, and you have to give it to them. I mean, it actually happened. People have talked publicly about using strategies to compel people to accept a medical treatment that they were not consenting to. So the evidence is out there. I'm happy that this is happening, although do I trust a globalist entity to be pursuing justice in this case? Not really. New Hampshire pharmacies could soon begin dispensing ivermectin without doctor's prescription. So New Hampshire is showing their libertarian tendency. I think this place is becoming kind of a safe harbor for liberty. People were telling me that you don't have to wear a seatbelt in New Hampshire. And now you'll be able to just chew on your ivermectin while going to the grocery store or to the local pharmacy without a doctor approval. I find it great. I think it's great. It should exist. People should be able to decide for themselves that they take the risk of taking a medication or not. Washington, D.C. defeat the mandate march calls to end for COVID-19 vaccine requirements, the draconian laws. Between 30,000 and 35,000 people attended the protest. I've been watching it on YouTube. The crowd seemed relatively small to me. I didn't realize there were 30,000. I've listened to the speakers, and Yeah, I guess I'm for the end of mandates. I think it's a very focused fight, though. I would hope that the people who are invested in the fight against COVID tyranny understand that there is a larger fight against tyranny as a whole that they are the part of. And I think sometimes I find this crew a little too focused on the specific question of ivermectin and whether ivermectin is better than vaccine. This is not so important in the overall situation. The overall situation is that there is a rise of tyranny, of social canceling, of social coordination, of mob phenomena, of recruitment of the force of the state to impose lifestyles on people that are against their interest, and that instead of resisting to it, the sheeps of this nation are clapping and are rooting for it to happen and are celebrating it as it happens on Twitter. So just know, if you're one of these fighting for medical freedom, just understand that tomorrow they will knock at your door to control your parental rights, your environmental rights, your ownership rights, your racial rights. And you're going to be out there having led only one fight, the fight for medical liberty. Never forget that the regime that is installing itself in America has much more than your medical liberty in their target. Pennsylvania school board member to parents, I don't work for you. A school board member in the York Suburban School District in Pennsylvania said that he does not work for the parents whose children attend school in the district, and that parents do not always know what is best for their children. That is what's happening. These guys on these school boards that are often forced by law to listen to the citizens complaining on the microphone, they are part of the elite system. They feel that they have a duty to respond to the people who have put them in place, not the people at the base level, the people they truly serve. But that's what happens when you violate the concept of a free market. We wouldn't be in this scenario if people paid for their school services and people could say, oh, here's an innovative school where here they won't train my children to want to get a sex surgery. Why not go there for this year? But it's precisely because the school has been made into a monopoly that we end up with these problems. Well, break the monopoly. This should be our goal. Break all monopolies of the state, and eventually you won't have to beg for attention as a parent explaining to a school board that it's not a good idea to combat the reproductive abilities of your child. You won't have to beg for it. You'll just take your child to a better school. A catastrophic moral crime. Barry Weiss and Bill Maher say the quiet part out loud on leftist COVID policies. HBO host Bill Maher and writer Barry Weiss received a somewhat surprising, rapturous round of applause from the mostly liberal audience during Friday's show after they dropped truth bomb after truth bomb into the pool of dissonance that remains among blinkered leftists unable to think for themselves about COVID risks and see beyond the I must zealously support anything and everything that Fauci or Biden say, or I am a Trumper mindset. I'm over COVID, Maher continued. I was never scared of it. I was always scared of the reaction to it. And as this has played out, that only proved to be more true for me. I'm sure many people feel different, but that's me. It was never that virulent a threat, I thought, to people who were in good health. Well, it's about time we start saying this. I mean, we've been saying it for a long time, but good that it's coming into the mainstream eye. Now, estimates on the trucker strike in Canada. Now, estimates are 1,600 trucks plus SUVs, personal trucks, Everyone's joining, and what does Trudeau call it? A terrorist attack. The Toronto rally, people laughing and yelling freedom. Canada done woke up, rolled up its sleeve and said, all right, boys, let's get her done. There was even a video with the convoy song, but a tear to my eye. We're doing it, we're going big, MSM trying to ignore it. Well, how the hell do you ignore 10,000 semi-trucks? There was this trucker 5 days ago was saying there was a plan for January 23rd, that's today.
Okay guys, when is enough enough? January 23rd. I say we start a slow roll across Canada. If you're trucking, it's time to say enough. Come on guys, we can do this, we can get together. We can bring Canada to its fucking knees if we have to. Not saying anybody has to die, but enough is enough. We got e-logs, we got carbon, we got borders, we got mandates, we got passports, we got all that sort of shit on the plate right now. When the fuck is enough enough? I say it's 23rd of January. Wherever you are, message me, share this, stitch this, duet this, whatever you have to do, and we'll get all those guys out there saying it'll never happen. It'll never happen if you have that fucking attitude. Stop.
All right, so he was calling people to assemble, and they have assembled. Truckers opposed to vaccine mandate en route to Ottawa. The trucks rolled through Kamloops on January 23rd. A rally by hundreds of truckers opposed to the federal government's border vaccine mandate have departed BC for Ottawa, rolling through Kamloops on Sunday, January 23rd. As trucks headed east through Valley View on the Trans-Canada Highway, at about noon, supporters of their cause and opponents of vaccine mandates lined the highway with signs and shouts of encouragement. This is related to the vaccine mandate applying at the border, which severely limits the ability of truckers to do commerce across the line. Canada Trucking Alliance condemns those protests by unvaccinated workers, so that's their kind of union or association. A federation representing truckers across Canada has denounced a series of planned protests against the federal government's cross-border travel vaccine mandate, arguing such demonstrations aren't safe or effective way of resisting the policy. So the truckers are having their union drop them under the bus, under the truck. And why is that? Well, it's because they are a minority. As long as they have these 80%, 85% vaccinated personnel, they can easily squash the minority. It's very easy to squash a minority when you have public approval and the complacency of the other sheeps to get after them, of the mob. Go away, says JF. Aussie trucker strike last year was a massive letdown. A couple of boomers making vertical videos hyped up by online dissidents turned out to be a big fat nothing burger. Hopefully Canadian truckers have more balls. I don't think it will be a revolution for liberty. Let's be clear here. I'm enthusiastic about any movement of resistance against medical tyranny. I don't know that this will change the game, but it can sum up with other attacks to the system that together make the system's work impossible. So if you know you have a couple of nurses that are saying, all right, you won't get our services because you're trying to force us to vaccinate and we don't want to. Then you have a couple of truckers doing it. Then you have roads being blocked. And then you have shortages in grocery stores. And then you have people starting to say, hey, where am I going to eat? All of this together, plus the just general exhaustion of the population to the COVID tyranny, it can play a role in that at some point there's going to be politicians realizing we won't get reelected if we keep doing that. Biden already blames Powell for the Democrats' House and Senate losses in November. Biden is not... The Republican victory is at 85 cents versus Democratic at 17 cents. with which party will win the House in 2022 and which party will control the Senate after 2022. The money is on the Republicans. No one believes the Democrats will keep power. COVID-19 has created a lot of economic complications, including rapid price increases across the world economy. People see it at the gas pump, the grocery store, everywhere. The critical job of making sure elevated prices don't become entrenched rests with the Federal Reserve, which has a dual mandate, full employment and stable prices, explained Biden, carefully pre-apportioning blame to the Fed chairman for the Democrats' House and Senate losses this coming November. So it seems that Joe Biden is telling to the Fed, don't crash the economy under my leadership. Same thing in Israel, a similar movement in Israel. It's time to give a green light to moving beyond the vaccine pass. J-Post calls, the general public needs to be free to return to as normal a life and routine as possible. Well, okay, you now have these mainstream outlets, and in fact here a Jewish outlet, calling for a return to normal. I've been calling for a return to normal from January 2020. How's that? Anonymous officials claim there's an evil Russian plot again, but the evidence is secret again. I love this title. In relation to our coverage of yesterday of the whole Ukraine-Russia situation, there is clearly a big interest in smearing Russia, portraying Vladimir Putin as crazy. And of course, you're going to get these sinister plot discovered by the intelligence community. Aaron Mate was commenting on Twitter. Sounds like Britain has taken what the US actually did to Ukraine in 2014 and rebooted it for Russia. Here's Obama-Biden official Victoria Nuland and then U.S. Ambassador Jeffrey Piat privately deciding to install Arseniy Yatsenyuk as Ukraine's next prime minister. So it was a coverage that they are expecting Russia to place a sympathetic leader in Ukraine to control Ukraine. And Aaron Mate was pointing out, hey, this is what the US has done. This is not a good prediction about the future for Russia. It's what the US has done. Okay, someone send me a video. Oh my God, this is scary. So this guy is trying to... I wouldn't do it, you know. If you can't, you know... Just drive to the house, take your time to turn around. Don't do it that way. It's not worth the danger. Oh, God. No. Okay, well... what happens at the end of the video? Does he get to... Eesh. Is it really worth it just to save some... I guess there's a place there where you can turn. Why did you insist on turning there? Okay, he gets free at the end. Everything is fine. Not worth the risk. Will the market flip green this week? Here are the five things on Goldman's checklist. Okay, so Goldman is saying bucket one, US equity market construction, impact market on close. Bucket two, retail traders, impact no dip buying, no weekly call option buying. What do these things mean? I don't know, but in any case, Goldman is trying to determine if there will be a rise, which would also mean a rise of Bitcoin. At least there's some bottom has been attained. We've seen today some good action on Bitcoin price. Now, certainly not back to the prices it were. But if there's any chance for a bottom, it's now. Or else it's going to go into a full recession. Alberta just inadvertently confessed to fiddling the COVID vaccination stats. Joel Smalley, this has been published on Substack about 10 days ago. There's a kind of graph that was published by Alberta, and they removed it eventually. But it really shows that there is a temporal correlation between getting the vaccine and having a case of COVID in Canada. Like, you can see here just the amount of cases that have happened 0 day, 1 day, 10 days, 20 days, 40 days after vaccination. It's like when people get vaccinated, they end up with cases of COVID, and it's also true of hospitalization, and it's also true of death. And so this goes along what many have been believing was a mischaracterization of what are truly COVID deaths, but they happen, but they are vaccine induced. And that's been a worry. That's probably why the Alberta government removed these graphs eventually, because it's like, well, what are you telling me here? This is the point zero, and people are suffering from COVID right after being vaccinated. And people are hospitalized for COVID right after being vaccinated. If the vaccine was kind of weak but loosely related to COVID, you would have some hospitalization that would keep going here, and some cases that would keep going here. But no, it looks like people have specifically more cases of COVID right after being vaccinated. Maybe it's because they get to the hospital, they have some symptoms that are COVID-like, so they get classified as COVID, but what really it is side effects from the vaccine. That could be what explains. As a reminder, by the way, I will soon be heading toward the conclusion of the show, but I saw that no one came to the waiting room on Discord. It's okay. Some people are shy and they want to send their questions through Entropy, and that's totally fine. But if you want to use the last call opportunity, join the Discord right now and connect to the waiting room if you would like to speak to me. Greg Mania says, how do we explain that the unvaccinated are 10 times or plus more likely to be hospitalized than those who are vaccinated? Well, there is something in there that could be true. But there's a couple of problems in necessarily concluding that it is true, that it shows that the vaccine is efficacious. One of the problems is that in the way they treat data, they put anyone who's got the vaccine and then gets some symptoms in the next 14 days is placed in the unvaccinated category. I would argue from a scientific perspective, if you were to do a study, at best, what you could do with these people is exclude them from the study, but you certainly wouldn't place them in the unvaccinated, because then you just severely biased your data set. So the first thing you need to ask is, can we get data from right now? Not data from a year ago, because the data from a year ago during the vaccination campaign is extremely impacted by this approach of placing any COVID disease that happens after the shot, because you're in the first 2 weeks and you say, oh, well, that's not the protective window of the shot. Well, the thing is, this is certainly not the case of an unvaccinated person suffering from the disease. It's the case of a vaccinated person, but the vaccine isn't efficacious or quick enough to protect them. So that's the first thing you have to ask. How much was the data biased when they do these calculations? The second thing is, it's not totally impossible that the vaccine has some beneficial effect. I mean, it would be kind of dramatic if it didn't. You know, you inject yourself with this whole spike protein. Hopefully, you will get some protection from it. But then the question to ask is also on the long term. On the long term, is it really meaningful to have protected a bunch of people for a window of 3 to 6 months from the then variant, you know, the Delta variant, or not even the Delta, but the Alpha variant initially? Overall, in time, you will face Omicron. And overall, with time, you will face even an increased risk of Omicron. Right now, we can say it. The vaccine has negative efficacy after 90 days. So you're going to have more chance of getting Omicron. I think that's why we don't see much comparison of the vaccinated and unvaccinated anymore. It's because the more we enter the full Omicron wave, the less likely it is that vaccines will mean anything anymore. And most importantly, you also have to take into account that right now they will classify you as vaccinated only in such a ridiculously restricted window. It's like most people that are vaccinated right now don't qualify to be vaccinated in a study. Do you realize this? Like those people who have had the vaccine a year ago, they wouldn't get classified in a study as vaccinated. They would say, oh, you didn't get your booster. Oh, you're not boosted. You're not vaccinated. Well, if you define, the thing is, if you always retroactively define what's a vaccinated person based on what kind of window of efficiency they are in, then you're, by definition, the vaccinated will be protected. It's because you're going to reduce the window, your definition, up to the point where you get your answer. But that's not science. This is not science. You don't adjust your definition until it's true. A scientific question is, these people have gotten this treatment. What is the extent to which they were protected by it? There's no, oh, we're going to retroactively redefine what's a vaccinated person until the data shows as significant. That's what's being done right now. So be careful, but also, you know, you don't have to go into an argument and deny that the vaccine may provide some protection. I think the protection that the vaccine offers is ridiculous. It's at this point, they are into the 3 month. They acknowledge that it's 3 months for J&J and 6 months for a double dose or boosted version of the Moderna or Pfizer. And we still haven't even gotten through the Omicron data, which will probably be dramatic on these measures. Like, Omicron seems to be designed to succeed in vaccinated people. Nature says a super chat in LBC. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, don't they, the truckers, see that this will give a reason to the system to introduce automatic trucks? Time to go back to farming. The slave system will get even more insane soon. Yes, I have the impression that you are correct. There will certainly be a push for automatic trucks very soon. And it may be the case that the truckers will lose their power over society. But we're definitely not there yet. So it's definitely possible that a movement of resistance headed by truckers could have some successful effect on the nation. Arizona governor sues Biden administration over attempt to wrest back federal funds, and Mama JF is coming in. Yesterday, Mama JF, your Pop-Tarts were amazing.
Yes, but I think it's so much sugar. I cannot eat sugar anymore.
Oh, well,
I don't know what happened. Since like 1 year, okay, I think I became old.
You became old?
Yes, I cannot eat the same thing like before.
Well, okay, that's fine. It happens to everyone. We all become weaker with our digestion of sugar with time.
Really?
Oh, yeah. But as soon as you become an adult, it just goes worse and worse until you die.
Oh, my God. But in the same time, it's good because Oh my god, you remember before everything I eat?
Yes.
But I said you didn't buy eggs today.
I didn't.
Well, but then I thought, oh, that's fine because we have a farmer right next
yes.
to us.
Yes, that's what I thought. You know, Mama Jeff put on my list one moment. Mama JF put on my list buy eggs, and I bought a couple of things at the grocery store, but I thought the eggs, you know, we're gonna go see the farmer, because in the current state of shortage and the fact is that the eggs of the grocery store are just not as good, we're gonna go see the farmer, and I prefer buying 10 boxes from him, and we're gonna have eggs for months. I don't like buying stuff from the grocery store anymore that we can find from our farmer friend. It's always better if we can find it that way. Arizona Governor sues Biden administration over attempt to wrest back federal funds. Arizona's governor on Friday sued President Joe Biden's administration, asserting its attempt to take back federal money from certain states was not authorized by Congress. The U.S. Treasury Department recently threatened to wrest the funds from Arizona because state officials have made distribution of the money contingent on not requiring masks. Failure to change the rules may result in the Treasury moving to recoup the funds and withhold future funds. So you have Arizona that says, we're not going to have mask mandates here. You want to get some of that money? No mask mandate in whatever place you exercise your stuff. And the federal government, hey, we want the mask to be forced everywhere. So we're going to take back that money. Well, that is a violation of state sovereignty. And I hope it gets to the Supreme Court, because I think the Supreme Court is in a mood for state sovereignty. We have to combat this kind of thing, because they've been doing it in Canada too, where the federal government doesn't have control over health, so they can't do anything about health. But the way they force the provinces is they say, oh, here, I don't have any control over health, but I have control over this $1 billion. Do you want this $1 billion? Well, you're going to have to... This is $1 billion that I'm giving to any province who will force a vaccine mandate or do vaccine passports. And that's how the federal government controls, ultimately, things that they shouldn't be able to control. Well, I think that in the current Supreme Court, Arizona would have a very good case to recoup this money, because it's definitely in a domain that shouldn't be under federal control, and therefore they shouldn't have the right to refuse the transfer if a state makes a certain decision. Have you experienced the shortages recently, personally? 8 people have answered no, 4 people have answered yes, so it hasn't gotten to everyone yet. I don't know if it's a temporary thing, or maybe it's just related to the fact that it's cold in Canada, and perhaps in Canada the supply chain is easier to hurt. But there are also a lot of people who are experiencing it in other places, which makes me think that we may be in front of a systemic issue. We have someone who joins us on the call Discord server. Are you there, Honk?
Hey, how's it going?
Doing good. What's up?
Yeah, I thought it'd be your maybe only call for today.
Yes, that's fine, because I advertised call-in, so I would have felt deceptive if no one had come to talk in voice.
Here we go. So my question for Jeff is, I'm seeing an increasing amount of people leaving the West for warmer climates, like South America, for example. What do you think is the moral impact of this? Like, if somebody's aware that a nation is falling and they abandon it. Do you think that's weak, or is it?
Well, here's the thing. I think that it's a bad decision, but I don't see it from the perspective that you do. I don't think it's a matter of having obligation for your country. Because here's the thing. Our country have gone insane. Leaving them is the only rational thing to do. And trying to change them or fix them is to carry a moral burden of the unfeasible. It's like you're only going to get disappointment. There is nothing you can fix in the state of Western civilization right now. So to anyone who leaves them, I wouldn't see it as a moral issue, because the first question before imposing a moral burden onto yourself, the first question you have to ask is this feasible? Do you think that it's feasible to save the West? I don't think it is. Do you?
No, I think we're on a trajectory that's unavoidable.
So given that it's unfeasible, imposing that moral burden onto you would be equivalent to just imposing arbitrary suffering for no reason, because you will try to be forcing yourself at doing something that's unfeasible. Given that, I don't think you have any moral duty to help your locality. But here's to help your nation. But here's where I think they're wrong. If they're headed toward hot climates, they're going to find communism to an extent that is worse than the one they're fleeing. Because hot climates attracts high populations of poor people who are dependent on state mechanisms or state-like mechanisms. It's the worst place to go live.
One thing that's pretty attractive in these less developed countries is that it's a bit more chaotic. You can kind of live a lifestyle that is outside of the law a bit easier.
Yeah, it is. And so if you can do well in these climates, and yes, it's more chaotic, if you find a place for yourself in that kind of setup, I'm glad for them. But I would suggest that true freedom is where less people live, not where more people live.
I hear you. I think you're right. Thanks for the show, JF.
All right. Thank you so much for calling. And we have a second caller who showed up late. Hello. I don't even see a nickname that I could name. It's like a symbol. Hello, Mr. Symbol. Hello.
Hello. So I guess my question was for the vaccination rates, people who got the vaccine and then got COVID after, do you think it could be more like, do you know like the Peltzman's article about like seatbelts?
I don't know about this article. What is it?
It's basically Peltzman thought that the people who wore seatbelts, while it's like if you wear seatbelts, it may be safer to wear them, but they still engage in more riskier behavior because they have seatbelts on. Mm-hmm. And so it's still like about the same. Do you think that could be the reason why people with vaccines may have getting COVID more than people that don't get it?
I think it could very well be, because I think that people who just got the vaccine, they feel almost invincible, and they have the impression that they've done what they had to do, you know? And so it's very possible that they see more family, that they care less about protecting themselves, and that's why you would have a rise right after vaccination of their infections. Totally possible, but I don't think we have done the research to assess this.
Right. Okay, that makes sense. Thank you.
All right, thank you so much for calling. California school district faces legal action over LGBTQ+ activist teachers. A mother of a student has taken legal action against a school district in Salinas, California, over policies she claims allowed two teachers at Buena Vista Middle School to secretly brainwash her teenage daughter into identifying as bisexual and later as transgender. Her daughter has since switched schools, returned to using her feminine birth name and gender, and seems to be happier. When we look back at what we've done between the 2010s and the 2020 and maybe up to 2030, people will look back at this fad of LGBT identification and pressure to change one's sex as absolutely horrible mistreatment by the state. I mean, it's going to be next to these, you know, how we look negatively back at state entities performing experiments on people. That's what we're doing right now. And that's how we will look back at ourselves. That is it for tonight, boys. Protect yourselves. Do not get caught by a mask Karen if you go to the grocery store. Wear your masks. Be peaceful. Be an agent of resistance in dormance. Much love. See you all tomorrow. Thank you.